Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As a quarterback, you shouldn't stand at the line of scrimmage, know your play, at least have an idea of what the coverage is and goes, all right, this ball's probably going this guy to that guy, or I'm probably working this side of the field. You're preconceiving where you're reading every single play. But you can see that Josh stood at the line of scrimmage and he wanted to throw that seam to his left. And yep. He was going to try and move that safety and rip that seam. I love the aggressive mindset. But it didn't happen. What is the next step in that? The process needs to be, all right, I get to line of scrimmage. I got single high man. Man, I really like my seam to the left. I'm going to stare that safety to the right and rip that seam. And if that seam's not there, that ball is going down to that jerk route right now. How important is it for Josh? It's so important for every quarterback, but I do believe it's a little bit more important for a guy like Josh, who's so talented, who for a long time has gotten away just on talent. This is the thing. If he wants to go from interesting prospect or good to really good to great to Jim Kelly conversation, that's when he needs to start handling the mental side at a different level. That's when he starts playing a little bit boring football in certain situations, because that check down might give you 3 points. That check down might get you a first down that leads to a touchdown and you win the game by 4. It's all tied together. For me, for Josh Allen, after watching all the games last year, it is by far the number one thing for him to go from exciting player to this guy's a really good young quarterback and the next franchise quarterback for the Bills for 10 plus years.
That's Dan Orlovsky that you were talking about, the updated Dan Orlovsky comment. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. The NFL, a couple things of note, of course, made news after the playoffs with the decision to institute challenges for pass interference as a result of what happened in the Rams-Saints game. Now, yesterday they decided to allow the competition committee to tweak the change they already announced and basically try and take booth reviews out of the mix, make it just a coach's challenge for the entire game, no stopping the game upstairs in the final 2 minutes to review pass interference. It got me thinking about the CFL, because the CFL, we would get calls from time to time from our Canadian listeners about how the CFL's already been doing this. They instituted pass interference challenges back in 2014. We're going to the Western Hotline right now, and we're joined by Darren Hackwood. Darren is Senior Director of Officiating for the Canadian Football League. Darren, it's Howard and Jeremy. Thanks for coming on with us this morning. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
So the NFL had their moment, Rams and Saints. Actually, you know what? Before I ask you your moment, were you watching that game?
I wasn't watching that game live. After our season ends, you know, turning on a football game doesn't go so well in my household. but it definitely followed through highlights and that sort of thing. So.
Did you when you saw it and you saw the big discussion? I bring it up because I remember I saw a number of articles where CFL players were saying, and some of them had played in the NFL and said, you guys should do what we do.
Yeah, I mean, we've had pass interference challengeable for I think 5 or 6 seasons now. And it still comes down to, you know, our system's not perfect in the sense the coach still has to have a challenge, right? Yep. So if the coach has burned all their challenges, that situation can still occur. But at least, we do have a challenge system in place to handle that situation.
What led to the CFL deciding to have challenges for pass interference? Was there a moment or a game like the NFL had with Rams Saints?
It was more than a moment for us. We were struggling with contact downfield with regards to pass interference, but also illegal contact or defensive holding for you guys. And we really wanted to clean up what was happening downfield and open up the game, to a greater extent. So that was really the gist behind it. You can obviously point to calls in the past that would steer guys direction on it, but really it was about opening up a clogged defensive backfield. Our game was getting a bit stagnant. We wanted to increase offense, and that's really kind of where it came from.
I guess
when it first came.
With me, with where the NFL is going, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to get you on, because you guys have lived this and experienced it. I guess for me, what I'd be curious about is when it comes to the call and when it comes to the discussion about whether you're overturning, what is the standard? The call itself is such a subjective penalty. It's, I think, maybe the toughest call to make in football. It's so subjective. One guy could think that's contact enough for pass interference. The other guy think it isn't. How did you figure out what to use as the standard to overturn with in the CFL or to let the play stand?
Yeah, so when we started, we were really trying to call it from the booth like we would on the field. So really get into the details of that pass interference or not. And, you know, through the last several years here, we've come to a place where we're really just trying to guard against the big, big mistake. So when we talk about a replay official, what they're thinking about or what they're trying to think about is, you know, if you're watching the game with five buddies and all five of you or all six of you think it's pass interference, that's the type of call that we want to overturn. So we took a step back from, you know, trying to get right in the weeds and getting trapped is what I use when you're looking at the same replay in slow motion five or six times. If you're having to do that, we're going to let the call in the field stand. And that's kind of the place we're at now.
What kind of growing pains did you guys go through? Is there anything if the NFL called and said, hey, listen, we're doing this whole pass interference challenge thing, are there any things you guys experienced that you would say, hey, heads up for this?
Yeah, we used to have the 2+3 coaches challenge numbers. So, if you get your first two right, you get a third. So we went through a period of time where we're getting, you know, four challenges for pass interference a game. So that really, you know, fans don't necessarily want that. Clogs up the game, slows it down. So we've reduced that. We're down to a 1+1 system now. So it's really about trying to find a way to limit those situations where you have to stop the game. In the CFL, we have the 3-minute warning. So after the 3-minute warning, if the game is, you know, still in doubt, teams are throwing the ball down the field, you know, on every play. So, you know, the worry of having to stop it consistently in that situation is kind of what made us go with the coach's challenge system over being automatic through 3 or something of that nature.
Four sounds like a lot. And the fact that the change prompted a change in the number of challenges. And when you say teams are throwing down the field every game, it hasn't exactly turned into just trolling for interference calls, has it?
So we went through a period of time where we call it fishing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a game situation. Coaches want to win, right? So if there's any contact downfield, they got a challenge left.
So would you have just
fish for a call?
Sorry to interrupt. Would you have routes designed and plays designed where you'd be trying to draw contact?
So you'd have, like, no coach would admit that to us. But I'm sure that's part of what's going on. So when we backed it up and we're you know, at the point now where we're playing defense against a big mistake, that's gone down because our coaches' success rate on challenges has gone up. So when we first initiated it, we were at about a 30% success rate for a coach's challenge. So there was a fair amount of kind of fishing going on. We're about 50% now. So coaches are right more often. So, again, that's kind of the growing pain that we've gone through. You know, I think we're in a much better place today than we were back in 2014.
Have you looked at the numbers? Have the number of calls that have been made gone up or decreased and been impacted at all since you put the rule on the books?
So it did initially because, again, we were really focused on cleaning up what was happening downfield in our game, the clutching and grabbing and that sort of nature. So they went up significantly year one, and they've leveled off since that point. But that was a directive we had as a league to try to clean up the game downfield.
Okay. Because I was curious. I don't know. It's funny. It could affect it either way. I was thinking, if there's a rule in place, would an official say, be more likely to throw the flag and think pass interference because I've got the challenge system to clean it up? But you could look at it in the other direction. Maybe he's more prone to not throw it and say, if I miss the call, the other guy is going to challenge it and we'll get it done correctly through the review.
Yeah, exactly, right? You can look at it both ways.
Yeah.
I mean, we try our best with our officials. We want them calling, quality calls to standard. So we view a missed call as less of a mistake than a call that's made that's clearly incorrect. So we try to, that's being driven by keeping penalty numbers down to a respectable number. So that's basically the strategy we took.
So there's no booth stoppage at all with your rule. It's only a coach's challenge.
Only a coach's challenge. So we get the You know, we get the ugly two challenges on the same play once a year where, you know, we'll rule incomplete pass, for example. A team will challenge the catch, and then the other team will challenge DPI. That happens to us once a year. We don't do any booth reviews, automatic booth reviews on pass interference.
Do you guys, you guys use a former player in the command center as part of the review process. What's the reasoning behind that, and do you think that's made any kind of a difference or made things better for you at all?
Yeah, we've been kind of experimenting with a couple different individuals in our replay booth. So we have a former player, we have current on-field referees, and then we have a few retired officials as well that work at that replay booth. And in my opinion, having a former player in there sitting next to a current official or retired official is a good team. We have two positions. We have a replay official and a video official, and they kind of work as a team in there. So getting that player perspective on, you know, looking at a catch, but at the same time having that, you know, expert level officiating knowledge in the room to make sure we don't go down a dark path is really good as well. So the team seems to work good for us.
The last thing I wanted to ask you about, Darren Hackwood with us from the CFL. The NFL is talking about making the Hail Mary exempt. What did you guys do when it came to the Hail Mary pass with all of these challenges and the pass interference rules?
Yeah, so we you can challenge pass interference on a Hail Mary. I don't think we've had, I can't remember a scenario where that actually occurred. You know, it's obvious, you know, a Hail Mary situation, you have a bit of jostling. You know, we don't want to get involved in calling that, you know, ticky-tacky stuff anyways, any time of the game, but specifically in that situation. So, but you can still challenge it. If there's a, you know, clearly blatant call that we missed, then we'll call the penalty from the booth.
Well, it sounds like it's worked out okay for you guys.
I guess the big question is, was it all worth it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think, like I said, I think we're in a better spot. It's not perfect. We still grade probably about 5% of our replay decisions incorrect through the year last year. But we are able to fix, you know, a significant amount of you know, incorrect calls on the field. So, you know, I think if you're looking at it from the perspective of trying to get more right, we're doing a good job along that path. You know, and now we're just trying to find where the sweet spot is, you know, around stoppage of play and tempo of game and where that really should be. So, it is now. I mean, it's been a fun 5 years or 6 years. I think we're in a better spot today than we were for sure in 2014.
Hey, Darren, one other thing I was curious about, did it lead to further discussions on other penalties or other ideas to now subject this to replay challenge? Because you guys do not you don't have a rule where it says every play is reviewable, right?
No, so we don't. We have seven penalties that you can challenge. The change we made for this upcoming season is we're automatically reviewing roughing the passer, which is a big change for us. We see it more as a conversation. So our referee has a headset, you know, similar to the NFL, where they're talking to the replay team from the field, and now that referee is going to be able to ask for help. You know, was contact high? Was the contact low?
Yep.
And the replay official is going to be able to help them out. And our hope is not to create, you know, stoppages every time the quarterback is touched, but just get those impactful misses, you know, when the referee's straight lined or that sort of thing. So yeah, for sure, it's we have a lot of replay. Roughing the passer, roughing the kicker are both automatically reviewable now for this season.
All right. Well, Darren, thanks. Thanks for sharing the story of the CFL with us this morning. Appreciate you coming on the show today.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Darren Hackwood is the Senior Director of Officiating, so they've had pass interference challenges in the CFL since 2014. And I thought it was kind of interesting just to see, because my big question is, again, what's the standard? What do you use to determine, you know, what is enough of a pass interference in your impression to overturn the call on the field? And to me, you're going to be looking basically for Rams-Saints plays, not ticky-tack plays, as Darren referred to it, not some, you know, there's contact on so many pass plays. It would be in place to overturn the obvious, oh my Lord, he decked the guy before the ball got there. We need a mechanism to overturn that. I'm just worried about the ticky-tack plays. Like, there's contact all the time, and how that's going to be, is that going to be overturned or not? Does it have to be a really blatant pass interference. Like, you held the guy, they missed it. You floored the guy, they really blatant for them to overturn the call next season. So it worked out all right for the CFL. We'll see what happens with the NFL.
Well, it is scary, though, four per game.
Well, they but then they scaled it down, right? They said right, it's
that,
too
that,
much.
But that means a whole year of
four per game.
Four
is
per
bad.
Game. That
that's
is
a
very,
lot of stoppages.
That's almost like the new sport.
You know, and you wonder, too, you know, your challenges, because turnovers are automatically reviewed, right? In terms of your challenges, I'm trying to think, does a coach, is he more careful about something else that he normally would challenge by think, well, I'm not going to use it here. I have to save my challenge for a potential pass interference call in the second half. So I wonder how much that's going to figure into NFL coaches and what they do with their challenges. Right. I got to make sure, in theory, you got to make sure you have a challenge and a timeout left, because you've got to have the challenge to do it. And if your challenge is unsuccessful, they take a timeout from you. So you've got to get into the fourth quarter and make sure you have a challenge and a timeout left in case there's a pass interference call. So there's it's funny. You think about it. I guess I'm a little surprised that coaches were that gung-ho to get it done. It is adding another layer to their decision-making and all the stuff they've got to do and everything they've got to think about on the sideline, when to challenge, when not to challenge. Do I save it for this? Now you add another thing into the mix, pass interference. You've got to figure out whether or not something's challengeable or you got to hold on to it. So, but they were all in for, we got to get the call right. I can't lose a game because you missed a pass interference call.
World Championships today. Jack Hughes back in the lineup. Paul Hamilton pointing out that he was a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
Against Canada. And now with Dylan Larkin and Brayton, who was the other guy that's hurt? Larkin and
Derek Ryan.
Both of them are out. Hmm. So Jack Hughes goes back in, starting lineups for U.S. v. Canada. I just had it on my screen and I closed it somehow.
U.S.
Russia.
Yep. Russia loaded?
Yes, very much so.
They have
Ovechkin,
Malkin, ask that question
Kovalchuk, Vasilevsky,
Kuznetsov, Sergachev,
Grigorenko.
Grigorenko, really? Wow, good for him.
Malkin's there, Sergachev, Nikita Nesterov. Yeah, Russia's loaded.
So they're not bad.
No, they're not bad. The U.S. on defense, Werenski and Suter, Alec Martinez and Brady Shea, Quinn Hughes and Noah Hanifin.
Okay.
And also Adam Fox and Christian Wolinen. Head coach is Jeff Blashill.
From Hockey Town.
Scratched for USA, Caden Primo, a goalie, and Derek Ryan and Dylan Larkin, who are both hurt.
I take it he's a Primo from the Primo family, right?
Yes.
He's son of
Keith.
Maybe, not
yes.
Wayne. Keith?
Yeah.
Yeah. He would have played, wasn't he in the World Juniors?
Yes, he was.
That's right.
He was starting goalie from the gold medal game.
They kept showing his dad in the stands.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Well, good. It's too bad he scratched. What time is the game today, boys?
I believe it's going to be at 10:15 this morning.
NHL Network?
Yep.
Okay, USA, go USA. And Canada's playing who in the quarters?
They are playing Switzerland, yeah. I think, yeah.
Okay. A quick note, there's good news on the Jim Kelly front. Apparently his latest scans are clean. Seeing some stuff on Twitter about that this morning, so good news for Bills fans from Jim Kelly. One other quick heads up. We could get some really severe thunderstorms today.
Yes.
Just seeing some of the stuff on Twitter about what might be going down at some point today. So I'm not a weather person. I will not play one on the radio.
I saw Patrick Hammer
lay out a tweet that made me think about this.
He laid out two scenarios. One, the perfect storm.
Okay, that doesn't sound... No. Look what it did to the boat in the movie.
It has to do with the Lake Erie breeze.
Okay.
That it could basically... It could blow it south of the city, or it could just kind of roll right through. So... Hmm. It does look like a big wall of thunderstorms expected to arrive maybe around 2 o'clock. Wow. I mean, this is... Here, want to see some radar?
That was a wall of... Oh.
It's coming right for us.
The red stuff is bad, right? The darker color is bad.
Oh, man.
Yellow to red to orange.
I said
2
o'clock. I feel like I got to change that. This looks like it's coming in 10 minutes.
No, it can't. I've got plans.
I mean...
It's going to have to wait.
It's right there.
It's a long line, yeah.
It's a big, long line, and it is close. My guess is somebody that's in an office downtown might be able to see it over the lake right now.
I like those storms when you can actually, when we see pictures of people tweeting stuff from downtown and you see it over the lake. Hey, perfect storm was a serious wall of water. Let's not have one of those.
Well, it helps to not be in a boat.
Out in the middle of wherever they were, Grand Banks?
Flemish Cap.
Flemish Cap, there you go. Grand Banks was Hunt for Red October. Messing up my water stories there. Flemish cap. Thank you. Anyway, so heads up on that stuff, okay? 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. It's time to get you a code word. Oh, quick note, too, from the Yankees. Apparently, they have, of course, I hit refresh on Twitter.
They've booked a bunch more games with the Orioles?
No. Hey, I feel so bad for Brian Cole.
And they're Gleyber Torres batting 1-9.
I put the stat out yesterday. I got to update it. I want to say they're 9-2 against the Orioles this year, and they've won the last 8 straight matchups. And in those 8 straight games, they've scored, I want to say it's like 65 runs or something like that. I mean, they are crushing Orioles. Well, the Orioles are bad, but they're crushing Orioles pitching.
Headline at Deadspin.com right now is that the Orioles should consider getting a restraining order against Gleyber Torres.
Yep.
He's got 10 home runs in 11 games against them this year. That's disgusting. Anyway, yeah, they're toying with their... CC Sabathia goes on the 10-day injured list.
You guys have both submitted your stats of the day, right?
Yep.
Yours was?
What the heck was my stat of the day? It was... was it Gleyber? No, I don't know what it was. Maybe I don't have
one. Brayton's was about the Blues missing the playoffs 9 times in franchise history.
I did use a stat of
the
day.
And the Sabres missing 8 in a row.
Mine wasn't that good. I can't remember it. I don't remember what it was.
All right, when we get back, I've got one from Mike Clay. The difference between the most sacked team in the NFL and the least sacked team in the NFL of last year. What does it really translate to? That'll be my stat of the day coming up next.
Here's your win cash code word, BASKET, B-A-S-K-E-T. We delayed this just so I could hear more of the song. Text BASKET to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. You have until 10 o'clock. If you text the word in and you win, you get $1,000. That's a nice stat. Basket 72881. It's our National Win Cash Contest on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, I owe you my pick of the week from Riverfront Auto Sales. I've been picking a lot of stuff. Pick of the week, 2014 Cadillac ATS from my good friends over at Riverfront. Marty Sr. and Marty Jr. have done it again. They found another unique pre-owned vehicle for you. This rare Cadillac has a sleek black charcoal exterior. It's a rare L4 2.0 liter engine, leather interior, all-wheel drive, only 46,000 miles with only one owner. All this in a luxury Cadillac sports sedan for only $16,315. Call Riverfront today to find out more. Call 886-1626. Game 5 Bucks Raptors tonight.
Well, it's not going to be as much fun. Drake won't be there unless he goes to road games. Does he go to, please, does not go to road games? You up on the big Drake controversy, Jeremy?
Little, I am. The coach called him out.
The massage of Nick Nurse and the Bucks coach is calling him out. I will tell you, the only thing that bothers me when I watch the Raptors at home, he's constantly standing up and blocking the view of the people who are behind him. Like, people are sitting behind him. He's got that front row seat between the benches, and he's always up. And I'm thinking, man, if I'm sitting behind Drake, I'm like, dude, sit down. I'm trying to watch the basketball game. So the other stuff, well, whatever, I could care less. I don't know why the Bucks coach is concerned about it. Just worry about your team. Don't worry about what Drake is doing on the court. Anyway, yes, good pick. Good pick of the week. Okay, that is tonight, and that is game 5.
Game 5.
Home court has been the edge in every game so far. Home team's 4-0 in this series.
Just texting with Sal Capaccio, our Bills beat reporter. What's up?
The thunderstorm warning you wanted to mention was it Chautauqua or
Chautauqua County? Yep.
Okay.
Aaron Minkowski from WKBW Channel 7 said expect damaging winds and some possible hail with storms moving at 55 miles per hour.
I know that's for Chautauqua, and I bet other ones are coming for other counties soon.
I'm sure of that.
And BEN tweeted out an article they posted about there's the potential for tornado activity in western New York, low end potential. And if it does happen, the best chance would be further to the south.
So I was just texting with Sal about golf, all right? And he said, we got to play. And he brought up something that just needs to be mentioned for all the golfers out there. Because we're in this thing together. We're battling together. I had a bad round the other day. It happens. You know what's going on at golf courses right now around the area? So This is the ecosystem of golf. Remember when I was complaining about how it rained too much?
Mm-hmm.
It was raining every day.
Yep.
You couldn't get on the course.
Yep.
Rain, 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 rain.
Yep.
All right, well, the rain finally kind of stopped.
Right.
And a lot of us got to go on the courses and thought, like, man, good to be back. You know, it's not that wet anymore. We're home free. Now, little did we know, because of all the rain, the grass in your yard, how'd the grass in your yard do? It got tall, right?
Yeah.
And you couldn't mow it.
Nah.
And the water, it grew, is healthy.
Yes,
beefy,
it was.
Beefy, healthy grass.
Yes.
So if you go out to try to play golf, what right now, courses are catching up on mowing the rough, which is very long.
Ooh.
And the grass clippings, Sal said you mentioned about this, it's so true. The grass clippings on top of the rough. And you might have, you're trying to hit out of a lasagna.
Oh, it's kind of a bed of grass.
You will lose your ball in the rough. I attempted to hit a ball out of thick rough, and my club got caught, and I biffed it so bad, it went about 30 yards in front of me, and I couldn't find the ball.
You biffed it, huh?
In the rough. So we're all out here just scrapping our way, trying to get it out of there, waiting for the rough to get cut back just that little bit. So
is that a golf term?
What's that?
Biffed it?
I mean, there's a duff, there's a shank. I went with a biff.
Slice?
It wasn't a duff. I went with a biff because of the rough. Slice is just movement.
I like biffed it.
Yeah. A duff. A duff is, I mean, it could have been described as a duff, but a duff I feel like is self, you bring it on yourself. This biff was courtesy of the rough being so thick. Somebody actually sent me a picture yesterday or 2 days ago trying to swing and hit a ball out of the rough and hitting a tree root. And might have pulled a tendon in his arm or pulled a muscle because he had a huge bruise up his arm.
Oh, my Lord.
It's a dangerous game out there.
Can I make a suggestion?
You got to be careful.
Can I make a suggestion to you? You want to just stay in the fairway?
Well, yeah, that's the goal.
I mean, I'm not trying to be pushy.
That's what you aim for.
You know, but if you didn't get out of the fairway, if you just stayed in the fairway, you wouldn't be in the rough and you wouldn't have to. Can I just, you're never going to give up the game, are you? Because I'm just telling you, just walk away from the game of golf. It's just not worth the aggravation. This is why I don't pick up clubs. Driving range I can handle. Miniature golf I can handle. It's the in-between stuff. The putting, I love the putting. Putting is fine.
Okay,
putting,
hold on. Wait.
Putting is good.
No.
What do you mean no? That's the easiest part of the tournament
for
me.
This is proof that you've never actually putted on a difficult course.
Okay, I'm talking about.
And you've also, true or false, never putted outside of a scramble format.
True.
Unless it's a par three an easy course.
Actually, that's false.
You have never played own ball on a difficult course where if you
difficult?
Where you can putt it from above the hole and it rolls off the green or into water.
I don't know. I've played my own ball, but I think it was only a 9-hole course. I don't think I've actually ever played my own ball for an entire 18 holes.
Yeah, you've never putted on a difficult course.
Okay, but now you and I have different definitions of what is golf, what's difficult, and all this other stuff.
Your definition of difficult
putting,
does not count.
I don't miss the ball.
Fair.
That's it for me. That's where I'm talking about, like, tee shots. Of course, I can absolutely, completely miss tee shots. I can hit tee shots that go less than a first down long in the NFL. Approach shots, name any other shot on the course. It really doesn't matter. Name any other shot. I can whiff it. I can hit ground balls. I can shank it, slice it. I can do things that you didn't think were possible on the golf course. When I reach the putting green, I'm hitting the ball. I mean, it's not like I'm putting it and it's going on to the next green or the next tee box. Putting is easy. It's all the other shots in golf. Don't even ask about, you know, being in the bunker. Or, you know, if I'm off in the rough, I just pick my ball up and throw it back in the fairway anyway, so it really doesn't matter.
So my stat of the day from Mike Clay, NFL reporter. I think they had him on yesterday. Yeah.
Tried to, and his connection kind of crapped out halfway through.
Wow. What does he know? Can't even get a good connection. Anyway, Mike Clay put this out yesterday. So the Texans allowed the league's most sacks, and the Colts allowed the league's fewest sacks.
Not surprised about the Texans. Poor guy got clobbered all year.
Yeah.
Think of the game the Bills played there against him.
Here's a question for you. What do you think the yardage difference is?
Most sacks, fewest sacks?
Lost yardage, most sacks,
okay, let me do
fewest
a little,
sacks.
Let me do a little math here. Are you going to give me the number of sacks or no?
Sure, I'll do that.
I'm going to guess that Houston, they would have gotten sacked, 60, 70 times?
62.
Okay, and the fewest would be 20?
18.
Okay.
So the Colts allowed 18 sacks. The Texans allowed 62 sacks.
2,200.
The yard difference in lost yardage.
40 sacks. I'm going to say 300 yards.
250.
Okay. That's a little lower. It's an average of 6 yards-ish, a little over 6 yards a sack.
Which is 15 yards per game. Which all of a sudden doesn't seem like that much.
But it seems like a sack is such a big play.
Right, right, because sacks are drive killers.
Yeah. It's putting you in a longer. It's now second and long or third and long, or it's fourth and not even makeable, so we have to punt.
I'd be willing to bet that sacks as drive killers are directly related to how good your quarterback is, right? If you are second and 28 with pick a bad quarterback.
I was going to say if you have Drew Brees, it's not as big a deal.
Exactly, it's not the same. You get 17 of them right back.
Yeah, and then if you have a bad quarterback, you're probably telling your punter on second and 28, hey, get ready. You're going in 2 downs.
And for the Colts and the Texans, the Colts have a very good quarterback who didn't get sacked a lot. And the Texans have one who looks pretty good so far, Deshaun Watson. He's had some success. You know, we'll see how he continues to progress, but he gets sacked the most. And there are also plenty that tell you that sacks are a quarterback stat and not a line stat. You know, if you're a quarterback that doesn't get the ball out, you're a quarterback that gets sacked.
I think, you know what, I almost feel like with sacks, by the way, just a quick weather note since the weather is developing into an issue today. There is now a severe thunderstorm watch for Erie and Niagara County until 2 o'clock. Just want to make sure I got the BEN tweet correct. Yep, severe thunderstorm watch, Erie, Niagara County until 2 o'clock. I said, better not interrupt my nap.
Until 2, huh?
2 o'clock.
All right, that's good.
And it's just a watch. It's not a warning for us in Erie and Niagara County, just a watch.
The watch means heads up. There might be a warning soon.
Right. Doesn't watch mean conditions are favorable? I'd have to look up the meteorological term. I thought watch was conditions are favorable that this could occur. Warning is, hey, guess what? There's a thunderstorm in your area. Like it's actually been spotted and it's in your area. You know what the sacks are? I think it's your discussion about penalties. You know, if you have a really good quarterback, you know, and you get, you know, let's say New England ends up being the most penalized team in the league. You know, the offensive penalties rolling up aren't as big a deal. You got Brady to get you out of second and 20. Or, you know, whatever the situation is, if you get a whole bunch of penalties, you've got a quarterback that can overcome you in negative yardage situations.
And I've felt this way about turnovers for the longest time, too. Turnovers are bad. You don't want any turnovers. I would never say that, you know, I say they're overrated because if you're a bad team, turnovers matter a lot. And if you're a good team or if you're a team with a quarterback that can get it done, Brady goes out and throws 4 interceptions against the Bills. What happens?
Whatever. He scores on the other 7 possessions.
It leads him into a comeback in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You're never dead if your quarterback is good enough. Interceptions can kill you if you know that your guy's not capable because it puts you behind.
Well, right?
Nathan Peterman's 5 interception game is going to kill you because all he does is throw interceptions. Well, but if you mix him in with enough touchdowns, you'll be fine.
But it does. It limits Josh Allen. Okay, how many possessions do you get? Typically, 10, 11, 12 possessions a game. But if you've got a quarterback who's really good, Drew Brees could have a game where he has 3-4 turnovers, but he does put up points on the other, maybe not touchdowns all the time, right? But he could put up points on 7 other drives, and you can still get 30-plus points in a game. So, yeah, I the sack to me, I think it's almost more of a psyche thing, you know? Like, the sack stats, I guess, isn't about the numbers. Honestly, I'll look at sacks on a stat sheet, right? I've never looked at the yardage lost from sacks. Not once. It's there in the NFL game book, but I just don't think about the yardage lost. To me, it's almost like a psyche, like a mental thing. Like the offensive line is beginning to think we can't hold these guys off. The quarterback starts getting happy feet. You know, he's hearing the footsteps and now he's erratic. It's almost like Sean McDermott the other day talking about affecting the quarterback. But if you get some sacks, you get into his head. Now maybe he starts getting a little jumpy. Maybe he's leaving the pocket too soon. As I said, I think it just kind of more from a mental standpoint as opposed to here's a 6-yard loss. There's a 5-yard loss. There's a 7-yard loss. Now, it's different if you force fumbles, obviously turnover. But I think it's more mental. You know, the defense feels like, man, we're really getting after it today. We own this guy. And the quarterback is looking around. Maybe not Brady and the veteran guys, but a guy like Allen and Darnold and the younger guys, you know, would be looking around going, okay, where's the next pass rusher coming from? I don't have a lot of time in the pocket. I can't make my progression of reads. First guy's not open, I'm running. Why? Well, because these guys are getting to me all day long and they're getting sacked. So I'm not going to look for my second receiver. I'm not going to look for my third receiver. So from that standpoint, that's where I think the sacks I would think it's in the head of the quarterback, and maybe has the offensive line worried about things too. All right, that's the latest on the weather situation. Doesn't
I've got
anything else new
a text
in.
On this topic. You can try and translate it for me. The real difference is yardage lost plus average yards gained per pass, you doofus.
Slow down and read that to me again.
I think what that means is you would take Andrew Luck's average yards per pass and include that with Deshaun Watson's average yards per pass. I don't know. He called us a doofus for something. I don't know why.
Oh, well, I mean, that's just standard operating procedure around here.
Timing of a sack is important. Well, that's like a goal, right? What a bad time for a sack. I mean, there's never a good time
for
one. Some are less damaging than others.
If it's the fourth quarter and you're trying to get in field goal range to tie or win the game and you take a sack, yeah, we're going to bring that up more than you took a sack on the second offensive play of the game in the first quarter. Big freaking deal. So, sure. I mean, it does. Yeah, as you go on later in the game, if you're trailing, every possession becomes more important, you know? So if you took a key penalty in the fourth quarter and stopped a drive, we're going to think about that more than the guy who took the holding penalty in the first quarter. So it's you can say that for, I think, just about everything in the game. Doofus, huh? Well, I don't know if that's, idiots, doofus, whatever. It's all par for the course. All right, we'll have Extendo Sports coming up in just a moment. Instigators coming to you at the top of the hour. Speaking of golf, which we were earlier, have you saved the date? It's July 8th, and you get to be at Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course in Lewiston and be a part of the WGR Celebrity Golf Tournament. It is back. We'll let you know when bids open up, and we'll, of course, get you the list of celebrities who will be there for you to bid on. We'll have, I assume I probably should have checked this first, but I'm going to guess we will have regular foursomes available again, so you can just bring three of your buddies. No matter what, we do have the date, Monday, July 8th, so plan on that accordingly. And we have the location, the lovely Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course in Lewiston, a beautiful place to play. The tournament is presented by Dr. Beyer Optical Group. For a look that's on fire, call Dr. Beyer. And you can call 646-EXAM. It's also presented with support from Encore Golf, Buffalo's only innovative golf ball company.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Some notes for the road. Former Bills are signing around the league today. Adolphus Washington has joined the Miami Dolphins.
Watch out for blocked kicks. Right, that was his thing. He blocked three or four.
And who's the other guy? Alex Carrington?
No, it was him.
Are you thinking of him instead of Washington?
I'm thinking of Alex Carrington.
Did Washington never block anything? Then it's Alex Carrington. He was Mr. Blocked Extra Point or
Adolphus
something.
Adolphus Washington was the guy that got pulled over after a concert with a gun.
With the police officer, that was kind of scary, yeah, right.
He didn't do anything wrong.
No.
It could have been
but
scary.
But it could have elevated into a really, really dangerous situation.
If I'm remembering that correctly.
Watching the video, yeah. You remember watching the video of that.
Yep.
Who else? Oh, offensive linemen. The Saints, for some reason, want to stockpile former Bills today. They've signed Ryan Groy and Marshall Newhouse. Let's see, what else? Oh, quick plug for our website, WGR550.com, chock full of good reading material for you.
2 minute warning.
Thank you, Murph. Any booth review in our 2 minute warning, or is it just, no. The Bills made a flurry of roster moves yesterday.
All challenges come from the booth. We can't challenge here.
You know what? We should. I'm going to talk to management about instituting a challenge for the rest of this show.
You won't get any challenges from
me
today.
The challenge is to actually make the show sound interesting. It's really hard to do. So anyway, we've got the roster moves. Sal's got a piece up at our website today about Josh Allen and Sam Darnold, who spent part of the offseason working out together. But also Paul's article about Rasmus Asplund. Real quick, Brayton. Paul's got a feature on Rasmus Asplund, his development at Rochester. He points out the Sabres have to make a decision on whether or not to qualify Johan Larson and Zemgus Girgensons and whether Asplund is ready for the Sabres next season.
We got a minute and 20 seconds remaining?
Yep.
Like we worry about time.
There was a honey truck that overturned.
Oh, boy. Honey.
Honey.
Bees.
Text to 550-550. Be cautious out there.
Beeswax, mind your bee. No, bees, yeah.
Honey.
Go ahead, tweet him
honey
in real
truck.
Quick.
Yeah.
Honey, bees.
Text him, tweet him.
Buzz. Roadkill, buzz. Bees.
It's traffic stings.
Honeycomb.
Every once in a while, we'll come up with one of these, and you realize, man, I don't know any words associated with the honey industry.
Beehive, something about.
Honeycomb.
Anyway, with Asplund, you were asking?
Yeah, is it possible one of those guys isn't qualified because they just think Asplund's going to take the job?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if neither of them are qualified, but I think Rasmus Asplund still needs a little bit of time in the AHL to continue to develop his professional game.
I guess I was getting to one doesn't lead to the other.
No.
They could just make the decision on Larson and Gergensen's regardless of what you're doing with your Rasmus Asplund.
Yes, but it could tie in, certainly.
20 seconds. The first five texts, not exaggerating, that's a sticky situation.
Okay.
Five in a row. Six in a row.
Sticky situation.
Nope. All different numbers. Can we get to seven?
Be cautious is good with the second E. Sure.
Honey, I've spilled the delivery. Breaks up the stretch of sticky situation.
I like that.
We're on a run.
That's
We're
nice.
On a,
That's good.
A DiMaggio-esque run of sticky situation.
Instigators is on the way.